You could turn to the book of Genesis in chapter 40. And as you're turning, if you could stand and in the honor of reading God's word. We are continuing in the life of Joseph. This is a tremendous story, the whole time of Joseph, how God worked things out. We're going to start reading in verse 1. I've entitled this, Learning to Trust God. This is something we continually need to learn. We'll start reading in verse 1. And it came to pass, after these things, that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Let's pray. Father, we ask now that you would open the scripture up to our hearts, and let us see what it is that, how we need to trust you in greater ways. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And the Lord uses Joseph. And last week we spoke on, I spoke on God's school, how God will take his children, the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and will take them to school and teach them things. And we are going to be in God's school for the, probably for the rest of our life, if you want to be a Christian. And how our Lord will take us to that spiritual school to teach us those things that the Scripture speaks us, for those things to become practical in our lives. We need to be practical, or in other words, we need to practice our Christianity to become part of our lives, for it's not easy, and the Bible never said it was going to be easy. He never said it was going to be easy to be a Christian. He says, if you're going to follow me, there's going to be trials and there's going to be tribulations. Well, we see in the life of Joseph, there are certainly trials and tribulations in his life, and some of them just heartbreaking, you know, where his brothers had sold him. They're going to kill him, but they sold him into slavery to the Ishmaelites, and they went into Egypt, and they ended up selling him there too, and to this man named Potiphar. Potiphar was the captain of the guard, and we're going to be seeing him again here. And so Joseph finds himself in Egypt at really no fault of himself, and then in prison at no fault of himself, accused of something he did not do. After God was so blessing Potiphar's house because of Joseph's presence. In chapter 39, seven times it said that the Lord was with Joseph. Seven times. And because of the blessings of God upon Joseph, that's the kind of thing that, you know, God is so good at. And where a Christian is, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's going to bless you and the place you're at because of you. whether people know that or not. Well, Potiphar, he recognized that and said so himself. And the thing is about, you know, when it comes to Joseph, we really didn't know the end of the story, which many of us do. We would probably lead the charge in saying that God is not fair. And have you ever said that? God is just not fair. He never said things were going to be fair. He's going to say that the children of this world are they're going to be incredibly successful. And not saying that we won't be successful. He said he'd prosper us. Well, what does that mean? Many times we get this idea that we're going to be have riches untold, when in reality what he wants to make us is just plain content. You know, there is something about contentment, you know. And I like being content. And because the thing is, we don't say that. We know the story, what's going to happen with Joseph. But Joseph here doesn't know the end of Joseph. Joseph has only seen himself in prison. And he is going to get out of prison, and he's going to be lifted up when he's 30 years old. And he's right now about 27, 28 years old. And he's a young man. And how long has he been in prison? I don't know. It doesn't say. He could have been there 2 years, 4 years, 6 years. We're not sure. But he's been there for a number of years. And sometimes we might ask is, Lord, is there another way that we can learn that's not so hard? Well, because we're so hard-headed and stiff-necked, no. And we are. We are hard-headed, stiff-necked, stubborn people. You know? Yeah. And there's one problem. Well, there's our problem. Number one, we really don't know the depth of the depravity of our own heart. And number two, because we don't know the depth of depravity, we can't really conceive how gracious His grace is and how merciful His mercy is. And that is the beauty of God. And now we come to a situation that just seems that Joseph, the guy just can't get a break. And it appears with Joseph that with God, he's finding that the things that with God is uncertain. You know, we don't like uncertainty. We like things that are certain. We like things that we can handle. Things that we know the end. Like Joseph, we know the end. We like that. If you don't know the end, good. I'm glad. It's always good. But there's one thing about the Lord. He is always in the business of surprising us. You know, He surprises us. Sometimes He doesn't. Now, if we have this uncertainty, now, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, it says this, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. So, in the book of John, he's telling the believers, he says, it doesn't appear what exactly where we're going or what we're going to be. He says there's some uncertainty here. But he goes on to say, he says, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, he's not talking about tomorrow or a year or 5 years. He's talking about the time that if God calls us out of here at the rapture, or we have to wait until our death and we see Him. But in between there, there's a lot of uncertainty. And because of uncertainty, we get a little, we get a little anxious. We want tomorrow to be like today, but tomorrow may not be like today. Tomorrow could be just horrible. Have you ever got up in the morning and you think to yourself it's going to be a good day, and by the end of the day you find out that everything went against you? Everything. And you're going, Lord, I was so happy this morning. Now I just want to poke someone in the eye. Just to have them feel uncomfortable. Have you ever been with somebody who had a great day in the morning, and by the time they get back at home that night, that it's like that they're not the same person? And now they have to... My wife was a banker, you know. She had to deal with people coming into bank. And now, I don't know about you, but, you know, there's sometimes things go wrong with a checking account or something. And they come to the teller, and it's like it's all their fault, right? It's always their fault. It has to be their fault because they work at the bank. And there's times that my wife came home, and she was a little anxious, you know. And I found out that sometimes you just have to let them unload, right? Just let them go. Don't. You know what I found out? Now, here's what men do. They try to fix it. Yep. Wrong. Doubly wrong. Just let them go. They don't want anything fixed. They just... Now, some of you that are newly married, just let them go. Just let them go. Don't try to fix it. Just go, mm-hmm, yes, And once they get it off, you know, they're ready to eat and they're in probably pretty good mood. Don't try to fix it. That makes it worse, okay? Just saying. Amen, ladies? Okay. Just the way it is, okay? We're in between. We don't know. There's a kind of uncertainty in our Christianity. And we're apt to think of the uncertain as a bad thing. Now, let me tell you, in our Christianity, uncertainty is not a bad thing. We can be certain about one thing, and that's we can be certain about God in heaven. We can be certain for that. We can be certain about Jesus Christ, what He did upon the cross, and we can have no doubts with that. No doubts. Not be uncertain at all about that. But our life and our relationship with Him can be very uncertain. Not saying that we'll think, do you love me? We know all that, but there's a lot of uncertainty. We are mathematical and common sense in attitude. In other words, 1 and 1 always make 2. 2 and 2 always makes 4. And so we want our life and our spiritual life to be 1 and 1, 2 and 2, 4 and 4. We want it just common sense. But you know, there's times that sometimes those numbers don't make sense. And common sense, there's times that God makes no sense at all. None. And you're going like, again, I've said this. I said, Lord, what are you doing? I don't get it. It's okay. It's all right. He says we don't have, you know, we don't think like Him, and He doesn't think like us. We just trust Him. That's where we need to get. And I believe that we must reach some sort of an end. Spiritually, we must get to somewhere, somehow, and this is where we need to be, and we find this joy in this place where we're supposed to be at. And I've told you the story when I would have been pastoring for about 2 or 3 years. I came to a point that I was incredibly frustrated, and I was really unhappy in my own Christian life. I was just miserable. And I would go to a Bible conference or a preacher's conference, and these guys would say the blessings of God and how good it is to be in the God's ministry and all this stuff, and I'm looking at them and I'm miserable. And I think to myself, either they're lying and I'm doing something wrong, or either they're lying and they're as miserable as I am, or they're telling the truth and I'm still miserable. Either way, it came down to me. It didn't matter what they were doing. It didn't matter what was going on in their lives. What mattered was where I was at with God. Because I thought, honestly, I really did think that I was in a place that God would bless me. Here's what I'm saying. I would hear all along, you know, if you get saved, repent of your sin and receive the Lord into your life, it's good. Well, it was good. Then it gets to a point that you're not going to be happy until you're faithful in church. Okay, I was faithful in church, and even at this point, I was pretty faithful in church being a pastor. You know, it was one of those things I had to be there. You know, I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't tell the people, man, I'm in misery here, and I don't like what I'm doing. I mean, that really is encouraging to people. And I'm thinking, what is going on? Because I was in, you know, I finished Bible school. That I should have been content. I transitioned over to civilian life after 21 years in the military. That took a couple years. And now I'm a pastor, and it's kind of like, man, I should have reached the pinnacle spiritually, and I'm miserable, you know. And I found out the spiritual life is not about what I am doing. That's what I found out. It's not what I'm doing. It's not what I have finished. And I was taking all the right steps and doing all the right programs. And yet I don't like some of the things I'm doing, and I'm stressed over developing messages. I just wanted to do well. And after some diligent prayer and thinking, and reading, and I have to say that I would reach out to preachers, and I say, you know, I'm miserable, I don't know what's going on, and this is what I got. Almost every one of them just said this: hang in there. That is not what I was looking for. I needed some answers. I wanted some answers. Why am I like this? Why am I so miserable spiritually? Well, it came down to this. Because of some of the things I was reading, I found out God is working in my life. It was just as simple as that. You think it can't be that simple. It is. It's just that simple. But it's not easy. Because when you go through these situations, you wonder, how am I going to get through it? And you feel so isolated and so alone. And many times, have you ever come to a point that you... spiritually, you don't know what's going on, but you cannot articulate what you feel or what you sense or what you think. You can't articulate it, but you know I'm missing something. What is it? And, because listen, whether you're in a pulpit or you're sitting in a pew, the ground before the cross is level for everybody. It's level for everybody. What it took was, after a time, that the certainty I had in God was this: uncertainty. I was uncertain about Him, and I was certain about that. I was certain about the uncertainty of my life with God. Now, please stay with me for a minute. We like certainty. We like things that there's certainty. We like an organization where there's certainty. We like the idea that we have our doctrines down, and we can maybe even recite them and show you where they're at in Scripture, and we like that certainty. We like our belief systems, and we like to be certain about our belief systems. Now, let me tell you something. We become certain of something, something else is going to die. I'll give you, for instance, my oldest daughter, Rose, Mary Rose. When she was a baby, she was a baby, right? She was a baby. I mean, you got Levi. He's a baby. But one day, my daughter became a little girl. And the baby died. Now she's a little girl. Levi is going to be a little boy one day. And he might be your baby. But now he's a little boy. And that little boy, that little girl, she grew up some. And that little girl died. And now she's a young lady. You see what I'm saying? And as soon as we're certain about something, something dies. Now, when it comes to the spiritual side of this, when we become certain in our doctrines, the life of the Almighty God dies. Because doctrine is just teaching. It's just what it is. A lost man can get all the doctrines and all the teaching and still means nothing. Because God is no longer uncertain because we now have Him in a box of doctrines. Doctrines are good. They help us to read and guide us in our Bible to help help us with the uncertain God. And when God is no longer uncertain, His life dies in our soul. Because I cease to believe in God, I believe in my beliefs. I believe in everything that I believe, right? And my belief in God, somehow, he's certain now. I have Him now. I've got Him where He is. I can now understand Him. And what happens is our spiritual life, it goes flat. And you're going, why is not God alive in my life? And I'll tell you why. You like your beliefs. Because God is uncertain. You know, my wife and I, we've been married about 45 years. 46 years, right? She still surprises me. She goes, we've been married this long and you still do not know me? Well, how much more of God? Right? And there's times, I love the idea that my wife can surprise me. I said, man, I didn't know that. You know. But God is so much greater. And when he becomes uncertain, there's one thing that I can be certain about is God's uncertainty. And when He is uncertain, He becomes infinite again. I become finite. He becomes huge. As far as that box goes, He has busted out of that a long time ago. And now He is big. And as more uncertain He is, the bigger it gets. And the more I learn of Him and He teaches me, the bigger He gets. He becomes even more uncertain. And I'll tell you, I love it. Because He is alive. He is alive and He's alive within me. And He can surprise me with so many things. And I go like, you know, you can expect things, but when He surprises you, you go, boy, this, you know, I had some expectation, but I didn't expect this. Right? Oh, now you're living spiritually. Now it's exciting. You come up and you say, let me tell you what God did. This is incredible. And people go, oh, that's good. You know, I got my box of God. I believe what I believe. He's all right here. Oh, man, let Him out of that box. Okay, I got it. You got your doctrines down. They help you. You don't throw them away. But we're talking about God. Doctrine isn't bad until it's what we trust. Instead of helping us with studying the Scriptures, we have belief in our doctrines and our methods, and we have this belief in our ends that God does this and He doesn't do anything else. Now we become like Job, like Job's friends, you know, Eliphaz, the Temanite, and Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite. Those guys were a piece of work. Just read about these jokers. And you think, man, with friends like that, who needs enemies? All they ever did is, no, God's uncertain. God was doing something in Job's life. And you know what it was? He had some unforgiveness that he had to deal with. He had a problem, unforgiveness. And when he forgave his friends, whatever he had, it was doubled. Now, you don't think he was surprised about that? And just read the story of Job. It's an incredible story. I love the story of Job. Oldest book in the Bible. So, we become very judgmental, condemning, blaming, and very self-righteous. We get like that. We're like the friends of Job. After a short while, we lose sight of God Himself. Matthew 18, verse 3, it says, "Except ye be converted and become as little children." See, a little child is certain of one thing, and this is what a little child is certain of: his parents. He's sure about his parents. All right? Sure about his parents. He may not be sure about anything else, but he's sure about his parents. And see, this is how we are supposed to be with God. We're sure about God. But anything else, we're not too sure about. And what God does, we're uncertain about. One thing for sure, it's good for us. Have you lost that wonder of God? Surprises? It seems like the surprises of the living God have ceased. The average Christian is inarticulate about their belief. And the really curious thing is he does not connect his belief in goodness and truth and justice with Jesus Christ. Because somewhere Jesus Christ has been misrepresented in your life. Listen, Jesus Christ, we can learn all about him and we don't put him in a box. He's infinite. He was there when in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He was there. He was there with Noah. He was there with Moses. He was there with everything. He was there. He would show up in some of these places. We've seen in the book of Genesis where theophany or a pre Jesus Christ had showed the angel of the Lord. God is delightfully uncertain, and we must learn to trust God. So let me get into this. Let's look in verses 1 through 4. We'll go through this again, and you're going to see what I'm talking about. In verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And they continued a season in ward." Now, Joseph, now he's in prison. He's been there for a while. And he's at this prison. Now, the prison, at this time, the custom was this. The prison, there were high walls and they were round, okay? Now, the prison itself would be connected to the house of the captain of the guard, and this would be Potiphar, okay? So what's happening is Potiphar, in his home, the prison itself is somehow attached to that home. That's how the custom was at that time, okay? And so here comes these two officers. You got the butler. Now the butler, he's the cupbearer. He's the one who will taste the food and make sure it's not poisonous or whatever, and make sure it's proper. Everything for the Pharaoh, that it's right, okay? These guys have the ear of Pharaoh, you know. I mean, these guys are at the very inner court of the inner court with Pharaoh the king. And the baker, he is, I guess you might say today, he would be the executive chef, okay? I don't know what happened. It doesn't say. But it says that they trespassed. What was it? No, not trespassed. Offended. Now, this comes from the Hebrew word kata, which means to trespass or miss the mark or sin against Pharaoh. He sinned against him. And so what they did was they threw him in jail. And because Pharaoh, says in verse 2, was wroth. He was in a rage. I mean, as far as he's concerned, it gives the idea that he could have just killed him right then, but he put him in prison. Now, when they put him in prison, Potiphar, he comes to Joseph and he says, now, these guys are important, right? He says, he knows Joseph. He trusts Joseph. And, you know, Potiphar is a guy that whose wife set him up, right? Set Joseph up. Well, Potiphar, he's seen the character of Joseph. And he says, now, Joseph, what I want you to do is I want you to take care of them. these guys, they've got the Pharaoh's ear. And if these guys end up going back, I'd like to have them to say that, I go from captain of the guard to maybe general, and I don't know. But you know that he's going to be pretty self-serving. And it says in verse 4 that Joseph served them. In other words, ministered to them, because Joseph had a heart of a minister, and said they were there for a season. A season is about a year, okay? So for a year, here is Joseph ministering to these guys, taking care of them because he had charge of them. Now, look in verse 5. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. In other words, they appeared peevish. They're angry. They're irritable. They're like, they had this dream and they're just peevish. They're irritated. And he asked the Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" That word sadly means this: why you look so evil? You got an evil look. I mean, have you ever come in and I might be thinking about something and somebody say, "Why you look so mad?" You know what? I'm not. But there's times that people, they just, they've got these problems, and why you look so evil? What's your problem here? And they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" He gives God the glory. This is so good about Joseph. He gives God glory. Don't they belong to God? God takes care of these. Tell me them, I pray you. Okay? And so here he is. He's the baker and the butler have a dream, and Joseph sees them. And Joseph is Joseph's a pretty savvy guy. And he comes up and he says, "What's going on? Can I help you guys? Well, I had these dreams." Well, listen, interpretation belonged to the Almighty, Jehovah, Adonai, And he says, "I want to introduce you to my Lord." And see, in part one here, number one, we need to learn to trust. Learn to trust. We need to learn trust. Not learn to trust. We need to learn trust. How to trust somebody. It's hard to trust people, but you can always trust God. Always. He always says what he means. And he always means what he says. He always does. He doesn't lie. Ever. God never lies. All right? We have to learn trust and learn to trust him. But there's greater things to come from a very humble place. I mean, you got to understand and remember where Joseph is. He's in prison, and he's in a bad place. Nobody knows where he's at. His brothers have forgot about him. His father, Jacob or Israel, he still weeps over his son Joseph that his brothers said were killed by beasts because he brought that coat of many colors. Says, "Oh, Joseph's dead. Beasts got him. He's dead. They lied to him." So we need to learn trust, and we need to learn to trust God. And that's the second thing, is trust God. Look in verse 9. "And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, 'In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand.'" So, he says, there's three branches on the vine. It budded, it brought forth blossoms, Out of the blossoms came the grapes. The butler picks the grapes. He squeezes the grapes into Pharaoh's cup and simply, straightforward, gives it to the Pharaoh. Well, look at verse 12. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. Now that phrase, lift up thine head, in verse 13, it gives the idea of to have your case considered by the king to be restored. Okay? And you can see this in 2 Kings chapter 25 and verse 27, and Jeremiah 52 verse 31 says the same thing in what it's talking about. Okay? And so he starts to interpret the butler's dream, and you know, one thing about Joseph, he gives off this persona of joy and hope and gratitude. It kind of oozes out of his pores that, you know, he's got a lot of joy. He has a lot of hope, you know. Even though he's in a prison, no fault of his own, in Egypt, no fault of his own, but somehow through it all, he has joy and he has some hope and an attitude of gratitude, right? He does. You know, have you ever met somebody that just kind of sensed that? You know, kind of neat. And so Joseph tells the butler, when you're released, he goes on to say, let's see. Oh, look in verse 14. And so he tells him this interpretation. In verse 14, he says, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. So he asks him, is there anything wrong with this? No. He says, listen, you're going to get out of here, and you're going to be back in Pharaoh's house. Joseph's sure of it, because he knows his God. He trusts him, right? And he says, when you get back there, tell Pharaoh about me here, you know? Just tell him what, you know, and if you could, be mindful. In other words, on purpose, remember me, right? Remember me. But then he does this. For indeed I was stolen away out of the hand of the Hebrews. And here also have I done nothing that they should put me in the dungeon. You know, it's like every other inmate in prison. I'm innocent. Well, when I was ministering in the prison in just out of Spokane out there, these guys, they would start, hey, I shouldn't even be here. And one of the guys, our Bible study, he gets up. His name was Shu. And, that was his nickname. And Shu was, he was kind of an odd guy. And he shaved his head. And on this side, he had a picture of a bullet go inside this here, tattooed. And on this side, had it coming out. Shu. Anyway, he gets up and he starts telling me about that I shouldn't be here, that I'm innocent. And man, I stopped him right. I said, stop right there. Shu, stop. Sit down. I said, I want you to look around in this room. And there was about 30 of us. And I says, there is not an innocent man in this room. Nobody's innocent here. That includes me. We should get worse of anything we ever did. It's by the grace of God we're still alive. I said, don't ever tell anybody that you're ever innocent ever again. Because, you know, you and me, we put Jesus Christ on the cross. Our sin put him up there. Don't ever tell me again you're innocent of anything. And, you know, he never did. But what I want to say is, not only to learn trust, but in that learned trust is to trust God, not your own pleas and excuses or people, when God wants you to just trust Him. This is, see, Joseph is getting ready for something. And if you continue coming, you're going to see what God does. And it is fabulous. Thirdly, don't trust yourself. Don't trust yourself. Look in verse 16. When the chief baker, now here comes the chief baker. Now he sees what's going on and he says, wow, good news to the butler. It's all working out good for the butler. Now it's going to work out good for me. It must be because Joseph brings good news, right? Verse 16, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, right? He said unto Joseph, me, let me tell you my dream. All right? It was in my dream, and behold, I had three white brass baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. Oh man, let me tell you my good story. Now tell me, what is happening? You know, I had three baskets. The top basket was full of food, and the birds come and they're eating out of it, and all that food. Well, here comes verse 18. Now Joseph knows what he's going to say, and he had to say, chief baker, hey, chef, let me put my arm around you. He says, I got some news for you, my friend. I hate to tell you this, but let me give you a reality check. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets, 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee. All right, this sounds good. Wait a minute. You said that, but that doesn't sound the same as you said the other guy, you know. He says, shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the bird shall eat thy flesh from off thee. What? Wait a minute. You gave him good news, why give me bad news? Hey, it was your dream, not mine. All right? Yeah, the birds are going to eat you. And now let's look at verse 20, because these interpretations, man, they are spot on. Look in verse 20. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, okay, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler. In other words, he brought him back and reconsidered everything, and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to him. Now, here's what's going on. You know, sometimes we get just a little cocky. When they talk about they hanged him, what they did, they impaled him. I know it's kind of a gruesome thing, but they would impale these men and then hang them out and let whatever eat them up after they cut their head off. So it's always a gruesome thing. You know, you don't like to say stuff like that in a mixed company, but that's what's going on. And it's what happened. Now, I don't know what happened. Did they try to poison him? I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, sometimes things are just uncertain. This is why we need to be right before God. Now, Joseph is kind of a bystander in this thing, but God allowed these men to come into their lives. This was no accident. I just love how God does things, because have you ever prayed for something and it worked out, but not the way that you thought it was going to work out? But it worked out better and probably in a way I would have never thought about it that way. I mean, how many times? You know, before we came out here, I took over church in Florida, and some of you haven't been here, but the church was closing down, and so I just let it die a peaceful death. And we had a warehouse. This guy had bought a warehouse, wasn't bought right, and things just weren't done right. But So I just let it die a peaceful death. And I said, now I got to get rid of this warehouse. And I called this guy. And he came down from Maryland to help me. And I says, now, he had this ministry called Jehovah Jireh, which he gives money to churches. Well, they had given money to the church before to purchase this thing. And it's through the Independent Baptist group. And he's given millions of dollars away. He's a millionaire. And so he's helped me through this. Now, you did bought and sell. He goes, no, that's not how I made my money. He said, I had property and I sold it, but what I did was I rented property. And he goes, I don't know how to do this. So we went this, and finally he made a call, and it was a wrong number, and called this guy, and he says, who am I talking to? And this other guy says, well, who am I talking to? And finally got to the conversation. He said, well, I have a warehouse over on the corner of, what was it, Levi? And some other street. And he goes, yeah, I know that warehouse. He says, well, we're selling it. Really? I'm looking for a warehouse to buy. Well, I'll meet you over there in 10 minutes. Well, we were there in about 5. He was already there. And we come up, and before we even shook hands, he says, how much you want for it? And he told him $400,000. He says, I'll buy it. He goes, sold. And we shook hands, and it was sold in 5-10 minutes. Now, did I expect that? No. See, God is in the way of surprising things. And the money that was left over, and now I'm thinking, what am I going to do with, I gave the money to the ministry so it would get to other independent Baptist churches. Right? To be purchased. Now, these aren't loans. These are grants that he gives the money away and they don't have to pay him back. God is so good. And this is what happens. This is what kind of stuff God does all the time. Look in verse 23, and we'll finish. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. He forgot all about him. You know, when things are going good, you kind of forget about how God blessed you. This gets to be our problem. When God blesses, we forget. And when there's a need, all of a sudden we want God back in our corner. Well, don't do that. Don't become like the rest of us. Because there's times that we just stop praying when things are going good. But man, when we're in the valley, it drives us to our knees. We're going to go into valleys. Let's go into valleys already on our knees. And let me tell you, that valley won't be like any other valleys you ever went through. And so he didn't remember. In other words, he didn't recount it. He wasn't sincere about it. He wasn't serious. The butler just, in other words, he was oblivious. That's what that word forget means. He was oblivious of what was done for him through the living God. Don't get like this. What I'm saying, Psalm 146 verse 3 says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath giveth forth. He returneth to this earth. Or in other words, he's mortal. Man is mortal. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord God, which made heaven and earth and sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever. That's where you put your trust, in who keeps truth forever and has made it all. Trust him. When it looks so grim, he is there. When you are in your darkest hours, he is there. When you are on top of that mountain, he's there. Give him praise for everything. Don't get like Joseph. Now, you can put your judgment on Joseph. I'm not going to. He's been there for years. You get kind of anxious, you know, like, what's it going to take? Sometimes we get like that. But God is still working in the midst of everything. When you don't see it. And then when he does work, it comes in such a surprise. You go like, well, you were working this thing all along, Lord. Well, yes. And he says, what?
Just trust me. You're my child. Are you kidding me? I want the best for you. I'll take care of you. And yet, Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Listen, when we're looking forward to it and it's deferred, don't get sick about it. Don't sit there and get angry and anxious. Just trust Him that He knows where you're at. All right? You say, but it just doesn't look good. I don't see the hope. No, you don't. He does. He's in control. He's got it. Learn to trust God and God alone.